So pleased that a young rising star in the Washington State Legislature joining us, freshman Senator Leonard Christian, is from Spokane Valley. I know everyone.
Good morning,
always,
John.
Yes. Good to hear your voice, Leonard Christian, and thank you for making the time, your first appearance on KVI.
Looking forward to it. Yes. What a great day to be here in Olympia. I've got my crazy socks on to make it with my crazy day. So going to have a little bit of fun today with the Democrats once again.
All right. Leonard is an Air Force veteran and a real estate salesman who went into, I love this, his wife encouraged him to run for office. Usually you got to get the wife's reluctant sign off. Oh, right. You can run for office. But she said, hey, quit complaining, run for office, which either means that she really did want you to run for office or she just wanted you out of the house, Leonard.
Well, I always wonder about that one, but I'll tell you, we got here this year in Olympia, I think around the 6th of January, and she's here with me the whole time, and we haven't been home yet. So I think she was pretty serious about it. Yep.
Okay. So let's see how serious you are about this proposal of yours. You have noticed, as I have mentioned on the show many times, that the Democrats, not only in the name of criminal justice reform, want to reduce criminal penalties for nonviolent offenders, they want to reduce penalties and restrictions for violent offenders, including actually arming, putting guns back in the hands of drug felons after they've served their sentences.
You know, listening to you say that, I would think it couldn't possibly be true. It just doesn't sound logical. Does anybody out there really think putting guns back in the hands of criminals is a good idea? You would think that this has got to be far out some other weird country, but no, this is Washington State, and it's true.
Does that bill actually have a chance of passage?
Yeah, you know, I would like to say no, but again, this is Washington. The craziest bills seem to go through, and so I would like to say it doesn't have a chance. But
so let me see if I have this right. I just want help me out on this. The same Democratic legislators who are trying to make it harder for law-abiding people to purchase a firearm want to make it easier for drug felons to obtain a firearm once they're out of prison?
Coming out of the mouth, it just blows your mind that we would even be saying this. But it's true. They want to take guns away, make you buy insurance that does not exist for liability of your gun, reduce the penalties for people who use guns in crimes. But the people who come in out of jail, they want to make sure that they get their gun rights restored. How ridiculous could this be?
Okay, so you've got an idea of your own.
Correct. We, you know, these folks have been so focused on these bills, including last year trying to make sure that felons while incarcerated could vote while incarcerated. Well, of course,
and serve on juries.
You run juries, and you also get to run for office because the only requirement is, oh, by the way, you're a registered voter in the district. So, yeah, that was the bill they were running last year. I think they didn't think it all the way through when it came off to say that they could run for office because, you know, it's okay to have them in your, you know, in your neighborhood, but they don't want them around the Capitol, you know, walking free. And so, you know, as a fellow legislator. So that's kind of what got me thinking about this. It seems like they want them to be in, you know, released from jail in your neighborhood, but they don't run around here. Well, you know what? It's about time that we get serious about this. If they want them out of jail, bring them here to the Capitol. Let them, you know, meet with these folks daily, one-on-one.
And so here is Senate Bill 5760, known as the Inmates in Olympia Act. Tell our listeners what it would do. You start with a building on the far end of the Capitol campus, the GA building, General Administration Building.
Yep, It was an amazing building in its time, great architecture at the time. It doesn't seem to fit in as well now, so they built a new building next to it and moved everybody over. So this building sits vacant. It's the taxpayers are paying to maintain this vacant building till they someday decide to tear it down. Well, I believe it would make great use to bring as a community custody center for all of these, let's say violent criminals, these rapists and murderers and armed robbers, the folks that we don't want in our neighborhood. Let's bring them right here to the Capitol.
Yes. Well, I can't think of a better site for many of our legislators who want inmates out of prison to see them, orange jumpsuits on the Capitol campus.
I'm loving it. We got beautiful lawns here. They could do their calisthenics on.
Calisthenics. They can lobby.
And I'm getting a lot of phone calls, telling me what a great idea. The only ones that seem to be really upset are the folks, the lobbyists that have houses around the Capitol going, what in the world are you thinking? Bringing those people into our neighborhood. Exactly. What are we thinking? These folks belong in jail. They made a contract with the prosecutors and the judge that they'll accept so much time for the crime they did. And now they're trying to get the second, third, and fourth bite at the apple. And, of course, they found friends in on the other side of the aisle who agree that they served their time. They don't care about the victims. Because I could tell you, somebody who's, a family, loved one who was murdered, they're not getting a second bite at the apple. They're dead.
No, they really are an afterthought. In Olympia, if they're even an afterthought, it is amazing
that
to me how the prominent legislators, say in the Senate, your Manka Dingras in the House, your Roger Goodmans, your Tara Simmons, are all about the lives of the offenders and nothing about the lives of the victims.
Yep. And I can tell you, it drives me insane because, people don't really know the story of my childhood, but I'm going to share it with you on radio. My mother was raped in the bathroom of the gas station. It made her quit school. And because of family dynamics, she had to steal the family truck, run away, and give birth to me on the streets of California, living in the family truck that was stolen. And that generation of that one crime went on to cause my brother to be addicted to alcohol and drugs by age 12, go on to serve time in federal prison. My other little sister passed away. And my other sister is a wonderful young lady living in Spokane as well. But she's failed to have a thriving career as well. Just all of that from one crime committed back there. So where are the people thinking about the victims and all that was left? I mean, it drives me insane.
No, that is a profound observation that you're sharing, that because of that one crime, you had suffering,
that one crime,
dysfunction, and trauma that lasted another two generations.
Yep. So why are they so focused on ensuring that the criminal gets rehabilitated, gets a college degree, has a comfortable life and while serving their time, and then when they get out, make sure they give them cash and training and vocational help and everything else to make sure their lives move on? What about the families that don't get the same? What about the victims? Yeah. What about the family that maybe the breadwinner was murdered by these folks? That family is never going to recover from this, but yet we're doing everything we can here in Olympia to ensure the lives of the criminals are much better. It's about time that they started seeing this firsthand, and I believe that these stories of these inmates should be shared face-to-face on the Capitol grounds with the folks who are making these laws and voting for them.
And, you raise a very interesting question. Who in state government calls the victims of these terrible crimes and asks how they're doing? Who follows up with the victims? Who from government says
it's not even
it's my job to see to it that these victims are getting through this and that they're getting on with life and things are going okay for them. Who does that?
There's almost services available for the families of these victims. That's why I ran a bill this year as well. The dependent children of a murder victim in our state would get free college tuition waivers, same as a police officer killed in line of duty. I think it starts at least the conversation in the right direction. If we're caring so much about the criminal, let's start caring about the family, you know, the dependent children, the aftermath, the carnage that's left over after this crime, and start getting these folks, to start having their generations improved as well.
Okay, so,
of course, that bill went nowhere either.
Your siblings have, had problems with drugs and crime and other problems, dysfunction, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. But not you. Why not you?
Well, I will tell you, it came down to my mom, again, since, no education and all this, she really had a very difficult time staying still. So every 2 or 3 months, she'd just pick up and move. And it wasn't across the street. It was like to a new state. Hey, today, let's go to Wisconsin. And off we'd go. So I never really got connected with school. And by the time I hit high school, I barely could read and do math. But for myself, I knew that I wanted to get out of that. I couldn't live in that generational poverty, that generational mindset. And so I decided to join the Air Force immediately, 2 weeks after high school, July 3rd, 1984, I joined the Air Force. And in that Air Force, I chose to make the absolute best of that I can. And I went on to get a master's degree where I was on the dean's list. So I wasn't a stupid kid. I just had a mother who was traumatized. And of course, that went on to us kids, us siblings.
Did they ever catch the man who attacked her?
No. They didn't investigate it. It was the end of it. So all these people over here, haven't you reconciled with your dad? And I go, I don't think you'd want me in the same room with him.
And you don't know who he is.
No, we have no idea. No, I do not ever care to find out. I hope, as far as I'm concerned, hell can't be hot enough.
I tell you, you are an example of why I am such a staunch believer in the citizen legislature. I want people with real lives who bring that experience to bear on behalf of their constituents to make Washington a better place. And I'm really glad you're there, Leonard, and I appreciate you joining us here on the show. And don't be a stranger, okay?
You can count on it. Love to talk more about these bills. I'd love to talk, hey, we're getting ourselves a pay raise. We've done such an amazing job in the legislature.
No, we talked about that last week.
We're raising your tax.
Yes. He didn't vote for it either, folks. This was a pay raise done by a commission. People are not pleased to hear
that.
Pointed
by the governor,
Leonard Christian replaced Mike Padden, a longtime friend of the show and ally with me in several anti-crime measures, including, of course, America's first three strikes you're outlaw, which we had to do via initiative because the legislature back in the 90s wouldn't have a hearing on it. Anyway, Representative Christian, thanks again for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time.
I'm looking forward to spending more time on the air with you, and I really appreciate your time today.
You got it. That's State Senator Leonard Christian, Spokane Valley.